Today's Shi'as Mesechta Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Ayin, and we will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, Daf Kuf Samach Tes Amud Beis, four lines in the bottom. Tanu Rabbanan, Haba Lidin, if somebody wants to prove that a property belongs to him, and there's a dispute here between him and the former owner of this property, and he claims that he owns this property, Bishtar, that he has a shtar, a deed, proving that he is the owner, he bought and owns this property. And he also has a chazakah. The way we're going to learn is the way most Rishonim learn, that he claims that he has a chazakah on this property, as we discussed so extensively at the beginning of our Masechta, that if somebody doesn't have a deed, but if he was on the property for 3 years and nobody said anything to him, then he develops a chazakah. And here he has this chazakah together with the shtar. So says the Braisa, need the shtar, in order for him to prevail in this dentira, he has to bring the shtar, divrei Rebbe. Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, b'chazakah, he brings the chazakah. And the Gemara is, of course, going to explain what does he mean when he says b'chazakah. Does it mean that he has to prove his case also with a chazakah? Or does it mean that chazakah alone will be sufficient? So ask the Gemara b'maika mifki, what is the basis, b'maika mifki, what is the basis of this machlokes? Says the Gemara kiyosra, Avdimi Amar, b'ayis yisniknas b'masirka mifki. The discussion that we had at the end of our previous shiur, can we sell a shtar? Can we give with Masira alone? That, and the way Rav Dimi is explaining the machlokes, that the person who's on this property says that he became the owner of the property by getting a shtar, but it isn't your classical example of a shtar, which we of course learn very often, that one of the ways of purchasing property is through a shtar, b'kesef, b'shtar, b'chazaka. That's not what happened here. Rather, what happened was that somebody who owned the property, that when he bought this property, he got a shtar, and then he just was given back that shtar. So the shtar was just given as a way of transferring the property. And Rav Shimon Gamliel Sover, Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion is going to be, according to this understanding, then ain't oisius nictus mimaseira. And just giving over the deed of a property without an act of kinyan is not a way of transferring ownership. Rebbe Sover, whereas Rebbe holds oisius nictus mimaseira, and therefore the holding of the shtar is enough of a proof that you are, it's a way of ownership of a property. And therefore, since he's holding the shtar, that's enough that he should be considered the owner of this property. He need no more. Amalei Abaya, says the Gemara, Im Kain, Pluk L'damar. In our previous shiur, we learned that Rava explained that the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel is that Oisius Niknas B'Masira, and the Chacham hold that ain't Oisius Niknas B'Masira. And according to the current understanding, we're learning just the opposite. The Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion is that ain oisius niknas b'masira, and Rabbanan hold oisius niknas b'masira. Omalei, so which Rav Dimi said to Abaya, v'tiflag, I do disagree with Rava. Yes, Rava has that interpretation of the machloikis. I don't agree with that interpretation. Omalei, so Abaya says to him, that's not what I meant to ask. I recognize you have the right to disagree. What bothers me is hachakam min aloch. This is what I meant to ask. Masnisa, the braisa that we learned in our previous year, that where Gamliel says, hanois matana l'chaveroi, if somebody gives somebody else a piece of property, and then the receiver of that piece of property, and the person who gave the property to the receiver gave it to him with a shtar, and now the person who received that gift gives back that shtar to the person who gave him the shtar. That, Rav Shimon Gamliel said, is adequate that it should become his property. And the only way we are able to understand the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel in that shir is because El Kemetar Tzemar, as Rava explained it, because Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion obviously is that Ois Yois Niknas B'Mesira. Vim Kane, and if that's clear, that Brisa shows us or teaches us that Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that Ois Yois Niknas B'Mesira, we now have a question. This Brisa, you're saying, has Rav Shimon Gamliel teaching us that ain't Ois Yois Niknas B'Mesira. And now, therefore, our question is, how do we reconcile the two Brises? Masnisa, the Brisa that we learned in our previous year, Lemitar Tzalke, Mitar Tzamar, the only way to understand that Brisa is the way Rabbi explained that Brisa, that Rav Shimon Gamliel holds, that Ois Yois Niknas B'Mesira, Vim Kane, and if you're explaining that the Brisa we began today's year has Rav Shimon Gamliel holding that ain't Ois Yois Niknas B'Mesira, so therefore, we have a situation of Kasha, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rav Shimon Gamliel. Ella, says the Gemara, Amar Abaya, that is not the discussion here. Everybody will agree that Ois Yois Niknas B'Mesira. And the Brice that we began today's shir, Hocham Ma'iskinen, that the person who's holding on to the property says that he has a document that this property is his. And there are Edim signed on that property. And there also were Edim Mesira, who saw the transfer of that shtar. And besides that, he also claims, and now the word chazaka changes. And here he claims that besides that he became the owner of the property with the transference of the shtar with Edim signed on it, the transference of the shtar where it was given over in front of Edim, and he also did a kinyan chazaka. And now what happened was, one of the Edim that is signed on the shtar is a karev, is a relative to one of the individuals involved, or apostle, he's a person that's disqualified to be an aid. And says the Gemara, here the Gemara is referring back to a famous machlokes that we have throughout Shas. The machlokes of who is the primary Edim in making a transaction valid. Rabbi holds like Rabbi Elazar, the Amig Edim Masiri Karti, as we learned so often in Masechta Gittin, that it is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar that the Edim who testify to the transferring of the get, they are what gives this transaction, this get in that case, the validity of being a get. And in fact, as we often claim, according to Rabbi Elazar, we really don't need to have Edim signed on the get. And the only reason Rav Elazar holds that we do have Edim sign on the get is because if we completely rely just on Edim who saw the giving over of the get, then if this woman, if there's going to be a claim against this get, and this woman is no longer in the same place as where the get was transferred, so she's not going to be able to call those Edim to testify that they saw the transferring of the get. Or if those Edim who saw the transferring of the get will no longer be alive, they can't be called on, obviously, to testify to what they saw. But if we have Edim sign on a get, so we know that all we need to do is Edim chasum al get, Edim chasum al shtar kemishnakr edusim bebezdin. Edim who are signed on a document are really sufficient midraisa. And even though, as we've been learning, Chazal want us to be Mekayim, to certify those signatures, that is not difficult to do, even if the Edim aren't here, and even if Rachman Tzlon, the Edim passed away. So therefore, Rabbi Elazar says, that even though they are not the primary actors, they are not the primary people that create that the get should be a good get, the shtar should be a good shtar, we have them signed on it. And therefore, in this case, if one of the Edim on the shtar are disqualified, it doesn't disqualify the shtar. It doesn't disqualify the shtar because they have the Eidim Asira. That's going to be the opinion of Rebbe Lezer. And therefore, even though the person who owns this property also claims that he made a chazaka, it doesn't make, we don't need to come on to that. We have the Eidim Asira. On the other hand, says the Gemara, Rav Shimon Gamliel Sava like Rav Meir. Rav Shimon Gamliel is going to hold like Rav Meir Dama Eidich Simikarti. That what makes a shtar into valid shtar is the Eidim who signed the shtar, based on what it says in the Torah Kedoshah, the Kosovo law Sefer Krisis. And as the Gemara Masech the Gittin says, according to Rav Meir, the definition of a Kosovo law is the Chosim, the signature. And therefore, if one of the Eidim ends up being disqualified, if one of those Eidim disqualified, it disqualifies the entire Shtar, because as we often know, the halacha is, Nimtza Echemehem, Kor of Apostle, if one of the Eidim is disqualified, it disqualifies the entire Eidus. And therefore, the Shtar is an invalid Shtar, the Eidich Sima on the Shtar are not valid Eidim, and therefore, the halacha is that the only option will be to bring Eidim for the Kenyan Chazaka. Ask the Gemara, V'omer Rav Abba. So you're saying that according to Rabbi Elazar, since Rabbi Elazar holds Eidim Sira Karti, the Eidim who are signed on the Shtar, even though it turns out that there's a problem with them, doesn't affect the validity of the transaction. Ask the Gemara, but we learned not like that. V'omer Rav Abba, Maidaya Rabbi Elazar, B'mezuyif Metaychai, when you have a Shtar. And indeed, Rabbi Elazar holds that you don't really have to have Eidim signed on the shtar, but once you have Eidim signed on the shtar, and there's a problem with those Eidim, as we just identified, that Rabbi Elazar will agree that the shtar is possible, because people will see the shtar, and people will see that the shtar doesn't have proper Eidim, and people are going to assume that we relied on these disqualified Eidim, that we relied on these disqualified Eidim that to make the shtar kosher. So the question. So we're back to where we started. How do we understand that Rabbi Elazar is going to say that if you have Eidim Asira, even though the Eidim Chasima are not good, it doesn't bother me. Here we see not like that. Mezuyim Metoychai. So why again is the Machloikus? So when we speak about the concept of Mezuyim Metoychai, there's a very interesting discussion Rav Ozner Zatzal has on what is the proper thing, what is the proper approach to take to the signing of a ksuba. Should a chassan and kala, should the chassan and kala also sign the ksuba or not? And he says there are arguments for both ways. One way, one argument can be made that if the chassan signs the ksuba himself, so even if afterwards there will be identified a disqualification in the Eidim, which will be a problem, it wouldn't make a difference because we have the Chassan's signature testifying that he indeed owes what the Shtar says he owes. On the other hand, obviously the Chassan himself signing on a Shtar, so he's disqualified to be an aid, he's the Baldover himself. And therefore, that creates a situation of mezuyif metoychai. So there's an argument that can be made in either direction. Is it appropriate to have the chassan sign the ksuba or not? So it goes back to Gemara to explain the machloikas that we began our shiur with. El Amar Rabbi Avina, Hakol Moedim, both Rabbi and Rav Shimon Gamliel are in agreement. Shem Kasaba, the shtar says, Hesakna l'dosim shel Eidim, we asked Eidim to say testimony, and it turns out that the Eidus was disqualified. Shapasol, that if there's Eidim Masira on that, if there's Eidim Chsima on the get, and they turn out to be possible, then the Shtar is possible, as Reb Abba just taught us. The Achronim tried to understand, why do we have to have this type of a language in the shtar? So I saw that the Sefer Taras Chaim says that even if the Dayanim admit that in their certification of the shtar, that the Edom who are signed on the shtar are disqualified Edom, and they're saying it didn't bother us that they are the disqualified because we're relying on the Edom Asira. So we would think that when does Rebbe Elazar agree to the concept of Mezuyit Metoichai? When there's no warning that the shtar is Mezuyit Metoichai. But in a case like we just learned, where the Dayanim are telling us, don't worry about the fact that the Edech Sima Apostle, because we're relying on the Edei Mesira. Maybe in such a case, every Rebbe Elazar will say we don't have the problem of Mezuyit Metoichai. Says the Gemara, no. Once we have disqualified Edom on the shtar is possible. Lo nechku. Where do we have the machlokes of Rebbe and Rebbe Shimon Gamliel? El b'shtar she'en alav Edom klal. There are no Edom signed at all. The Rebbe sovel like Rebbe Elazar. Rebbe holds like Rebbe Elazar. Dama Edom is sira karti, and therefore the shtar is a valid shtar, and the absence of Edom chsima doesn't bother us. Rebbe Shimon Gamliel sovel like Rebbe Meir. Dama Edom chsima karti, and if there's no Edom, if there's no Edom, then the shtar, obviously, if it's missing Edech Sima, according to him, will be possible. Vibay Seima, another way of explaining the machloikis, if the Maidiv shtar shakos for itzorach l'kaima kamifki. Again, as we just mentioned, we have to have kiyum on a shtar. What's going to be the case, which we've mentioned before, that the person who there's a claim against agrees that the shtar is true, but he has a claim why we should not rely on the shtar. And as we've explained in our previous shurim, if the person against whom the shtar is produced says that the shtar is mezuyif, there was a forgery, that's exactly where Chazal said that you have that kiyum is in order. The question here is that he didn't say that the shtar is mezuyif. He didn't say that the shtar is a forgery. He says a different claim, why not to rely on the shtar. The shtar was lost, it was whatever. And the question is kiyum required over there? The Rebbe sever, Rebbe's opinion is, and therefore, we can rely on the shtar. Shimon Gamliel sever that even though the claim was not a claim of ziyuf, but if the person is claiming that there's a problem of the shtar, the halacha is that falls into the category of pesha asa pasha hitter. He's agreeing that the shtar was a good shtar, but he's saying that there is a disqualification, and therefore the halacha is that we need kiyum. And this shtar doesn't have kiyum, and therefore that the machlokes of Rebbe is that the shtar can be relied on without kiyum, and Rav Shimon Gamliel is going to hold that no, you can't rely on the shtar without kiyum. So, of course, all the Rishonim ask a question. We just said, and everybody agrees, that if the person would have said that the shtar was mezuyif, that the shtar was a forgery, he would be believed with that claim that's a forgery. And kiyum would be required. And without kiyum, the shtar would not be a good shtar. So why, when he says another claim, do we not accept his other claim with a migui that he could have said mezuyif? So the Rishonim give a number of answers. One answer is that the fact that the person who's supposed to be holding on to the shtar is holding on to the shtar, which throughout Shas is known as shtarcha biyotcha my boy, the fact that he's holding on to the shtar is a very strong raya that the shtar is good. And in such a case, we don't say migui. Another explanation that the Rishonim give is, as we often say, the truth of the matter is, a shtar that we have presented in front of us is considered something very strong, lahalocha. The only thing is that Chazal taught us that when the person presenting the shtar comes with a claim of mezuyif, we give that claim enough respect, so to speak, that the person should have to be mekayim the shtar. But that requirement that Chazal said was limited only to the case where he said mezuyif. And in any other situation, we revert back to the Din D'Oraisa. And the Din D'Oraisa says that a shtar that's presented to us, the halacha tells us, we accept as a valid shtar and no need to have any further investigation. So ask the Gemara, but according to this explanation, Reb Shimon Gamaliel is going to be the one that holds Moed B'Shtar Shekosvay Tzarech L'Kaimay, and Rebbe is going to hold just the opposite. But ask the Gemara, we've learned just the opposite. The Tanya, Brisa says, Shnai Madukim Shtar, if the Malva and Loiva are both holding on to the Shtar. Hamalva M'Shalihu, the Malva says that the Shtar belongs to me. And the fact that you're holding on to it, you the Loiva are holding on to it, is Kivin Shanafa Mani, it fell from me, Umatsasa, and you found it. The Loiva Ema, and the Loiva says, no, Shokhahi, the Shtar indeed was yours. However, Uprati Loch, I paid you back what I owed you, and now I found it. Yiskayim b'chesamav, Rebbe holds, Yishtayim b'shtar b'chesamav, this is a place where kiyum is required. Now here we don't have a situation of ziyuf. Still Rebbe says that kiyum is required. And if Shimon Gamaliel oimer, yachloiku, they should divide the amount that they're arguing over. Vavinaba, ask the Gemara, how do we understand Rebbe's opinion? Ask the Gemara, why is this any different? The last Rebbe had the Tanan, the first Mishnah, Masechet Bava Metzia, where the Mishnah teaches us, Shnai Merchim Talis, two people are holding on to a Talis, Zayim Ani Metzia, Zayim Ani Metzia, each one of them saying that I am the one that found this Talis, Zayi Shav Hashem Bav Pach Mishav Pruta, this one should swear that he owns at least 50% of this Talis, Zayi Shava, and the other one should make the similar type of shvua. And then the halacha is that yachloiku, we divide it. And when we learned Masechta Baba Metzia, nobody disagreed with this machloik, with this. So why over here do they disagree? And as the Achronim explained, this is not exactly the same. Because really, a shtar supports the malva. And therefore, the malva is in a stronger position. Here, they're both in the same position because they're both holding on to the talus. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Amar Nachman, B'mekuyim d'kulam l'pligi. Indeed, if this was a shtar mekuyim, everybody would agree that what's right to do is yachloiku divided. Ki pligi b'she'en mekuyim. When the shtar is a shtar, it's not mekuyim. Rebbe Sover, and this is where the question that we're learning comes in. Rebbe Sover, Moed B'Shtar Shekosvo Tzarech L'Kaimay, Kiyum is required, and therefore, Imekaimlay, if indeed Kiyum will take place, he'll get Palga, Viloy, but if Kiyum won't take place, Chas B'Balmahu. Rebbe Shimon Gamaliel Sover, Moed B'Shtar Shekosvo Tzarech L'Kaimay. So the missing Kiyum is irrelevant to us. And therefore, immediately, says Rav Shimon Gamaliel, the halacha there will be yachloiku. So here we have their opinions, just the opposite of the way we explained the machloikus of the in the braisa that we began today's shir. Says the Gemara, indeed, epoch. We have to reverse the opinions. And say Rav Shimon Gamaliel says that if we have a shtar that has a claim against it, the shtar will be accepted. Because moed b'shtar shekosvoi ain't tzarech l'kaimoi, and the shtar alone will be adequate. And Rebbe's opinion is that we can't rely, and Rebbe's opinion is that we can't rely on the shtar. And the reason we can't rely on the shtar is because if there's any claim against the shtar needs kiyum. And in the absence of kiyum, the shtar falls away. Vibay Seima. Another way of explaining the machloikis that we began today shiur with, loylam loy tepech. We don't have to reverse the opinions. L'hochor b'levarer kamifli. Gemara introduces now a new concept. If somebody makes a claim in court, and then he says he has a number of proofs that his claim is correct, does he have to present all the claims that he said that he have? Of course, he didn't have to say what he said. And if he didn't say what he said, and he would bring a sufficiently strong enough claim, that would be fine. But he did say that he has many claims. So Rebbe's opinion is, once he says that he has a number of rayas, he has to bring them. And therefore, we go back to the beginning of the shir. Chazaka in our shir means the chazaka that we've been speaking from back to Perichas Sabatim, that he's on this property for 3 years with no one making a counterclaim. According to Rebbe, according to the halacha, somebody being on a property for 3 years with nobody saying anything is a winning situation. This person, however, besides saying that he has a chazaka, also said he had a shtar. Once he said he has a shtar, he could no longer say, well, I lost the shtar, and just rely on Edom that he had a chazaka. Because they're saying that the chazaka is not good enough, the other side, and therefore he has to bring the shtar. Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that just because you claimed that you have many proofs to your position, doesn't mean that you have to present all of them. And as long as you bring just Edei Chazaka, which we've been learning through Adam Asachta, is if you have a taina with Chazaka, that is sufficient. You did not have to do anything more than that. And that's why Rav Shimon Gamliel says, even though if he can't present the shtar, he doesn't have the shtar, it wouldn't make a difference. And this concept of levarer, of do I have to bring all my claims, says the Gemara, the Gemara quotes a story around it. Kihadar Rav Yitzchak by Yosef have a masik by Zuzi by Rav Abba. Rav Yitzchak by Yosef said that Rav Abba owed him money. Also came to Rav Yitzchak by Nafcha, so they came for the entire in front of Rav Yitzchak by Nafcha. Omer, so Rav Abba said, Peratich b'fnei pleni pleni, I paid you up in front of these individuals. Omer Rav Yitzchak, Yivai pleni pleni v'yidu. If this is what you said, so if this is what happened, that so bring Edom. Amalei, and so Rabbi Abba said to him, Vilay Asu, if I can't present the Edom, Loi Mehemna, would I not be believed? But he said, I don't have to have Edom to be able to say I paid you back, because the Aloch is that Amavas Chaver be Edom. Even if I borrowed money in front of Edom, the halacha doesn't require that I should pay in front of Edom. So why do I have to present Edom? Why do I have to present Edom if I don't have to pay you back in front of Edom? So of course the Yaivitz asked Avi's question. We're talking here about a Meroim. And how could it come if we have an argument over a Dvar Halacha? So that's something that happens often enough in Shas. But here the argument is, did he pay or didn't he pay? How could Amoraim be accused of lying? So the Yaivet says that what happened here was that we're talking about two great Talmidei Chachamim, Rav Yitzchak ben Yosef and Rav Abba, and they were so preoccupied with their learning, they just forgot if they did or didn't get paid. Amalei, so Rav Yitzchak Nachka said to Rav Abba, Ano b'hayhi, and this halacha k'shmatzah d'masrilei. I hold like you. Dom Rav Abba, Om Rav Adbar, Hava, Om Rav. Haimel chaver purtichu b'fnei pleni pleni. If somebody said I paid you in front of Edom, which it wasn't necessary to say that I paid you in front of Edom, tzorach sheyavoy pleni pleni v'yidu. You have to present those Edom. But the Rishonim say a very strong point. Even if the halacha is that you have to prevent, you have to bring the Edom, all you need to do is bring the Edom. But if the Edom don't completely corroborate what you say, it wouldn't make a difference, as long as you bring the Edom. Amalev, Amar of Gidl Marav, Halacha, Kedivir of Shimon Gamliel, that if I say something that I didn't have to say, I don't have to support what I said. And he continues, because Af Rebbe, because even Rebbe who says, Sorach Levarav Dvarav, Loi Amar El Levarer, he says, you have to support what you said, but it's only because I said it. But if I don't say it, I don't have to present it. Amar Lei Anan Nami Levarer Kamina. That's what I meant. If you said you are Edom, now you have to bring these Edom. The Gemara Masechta Shavuos, Daf Mem Aleph on the base, tells us of a story of somebody who borrowed money, and he produced Eidim to prove that he repaid his debt. And when the Eidim appeared in Beis Din, they said that they have no knowledge of that payment. Says the Gemara, the Rava said that even though he said he had Eidim, and the Eidim actually undermined what he said, because he said that the Eidim could testify that I paid back, but that's not what they said, they won't undermine his position. Because he says there's a rule, people easily forget something which they don't consider important for them to remember. And Rashi explains, based on what we're learning in our Gemara, that since one is not required to repay his debt in the presence of Eidim, a borrower could say, I forgot who was present when I paid back my loan. The Rach explains that since the halacha does not require that payment be made, as we just learned, in front of Eidim, so the Eidim don't consider their testimony that important. When do Eidim pay attention to try to remember their testimony? When they know that their testimony is crucial. But when they don't consider their testimony that crucial, so they'll forget the Eid. They can forget it. And therefore, the fact that they forgot their Eidus doesn't really change the halacha. The Rif asks a question. He says, according to Rava, our Gemara said that Rav Abba was required. Once Rav Abba said, I have Eidim, he's required to present the Eidim. But if the Eidim don't have to support what he said, what is the point of bringing those Eidim? So Tosfos says that what the halacha requires is that we have to do the best of our ability. And if Abba says, I have Eidim, and if you hold Tzorach Levara, as we just said, the halacha says, well, if you say to our Eidim, let's talk to those Eidim. We recognize that those Eidim maybe forgot what they saw, but at least let's try to see if they can help us, if they can help us with this case. The Yad Ramah says that there, where there's a difference in how the loiber expresses that what he says. Over there, in Masechta Shavuos, says the Yad Ramah, the loiber didn't say with the same level of definitiveness that I paid you in front of Eidim, there are Eidim that could testify that I paid you. He said it's sort of in a question type of situation. Didn't I pay you in front of Eidim? So when you use words like that, didn't I pay you in front of Eidim? So there, if the Eidim can't corroborate what you said, it doesn't bother us. Whereas in our Gemara, what he said was that I, Rav Abba said, that I have Eidim that can completely corroborate what I'm saying, that I paid you. In that case, where he says it in a much stronger fashion, you need to produce the Eidim. And if you can't produce the Eidim, then you're going to lose the case. Says the Mishnah, Misha par mixas chayva, somebody paid up part of the loan. So now we have a situation where, as we know, until the loan is paid up, the malva holds on to the loan, holds on to the shtar. But the malva shouldn't be holding on to the shtar because the shtar has the full amount of the loan and he paid up part of the loan. But the loiver doesn't deserve the shtar because he still owes money. And the Gemara Masechta Baba Metzia, and it's very much clear in this Mishnah, says that let's say the malva says to the loiver, I don't want to be paid up the entire amount. I don't want to be paid up piecemeal. I want to be paid up in one shot for the entire amount. The halacha is the loiver could say, no, I want to be able to pay you piecemeal. And as the Gemara says, he has terumis, that he doesn't like the way he's getting paid, but the halacha is that he has every right to do so. So Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, in such a case, the halacha is yachlif. We rip up the first shtar, and we write a new shtar. And we're going to learn in the Gemara, the question obviously is, what date is put into that new shtar? But the Gemara says that Yachlif, we write a new shtar. Rav Yosef says that's not what we do. Rather, what the halacha tells us to do is yichtav shayver. The malva should write a shayver receipt to the loiver for the amount that he already got paid. The reason a shayver is called a shayver, explained the Rishonim, because a shayver, it means to break. It breaks the strength of the shtar. The shtar said the full amount, and because of the shayver, it's only the amount that's left over. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, nimtza tzach li shayver shayver menach barim. So Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't agree with your position, Rabbi Yossi, because now the loiver is going to have to watch that shayver, because without the shayver, the malva has a shtar of the entire amount, which will put the loiver in a very weak position. Amalei Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi responds to Rabbi Yehuda, kach yofaloi. It's appropriate to treat the malva that way. It's appropriate that the malva be in the stronger position, not the loiver. V'loi yara kaychai, and not that his position should be weakened. V'loi yara kaychai shalzeh, not that his position should be weakened, because as the pasuk says, eved loiver lish malva, that the loiver is like an eved to the malva. What does it mean that the loiver is an eved to the malva? The loiver is in the weaker position, and instead of the malva having to have a new shtar and all the questions that we're going to learn about the strength of the new shtar, rather let the loiver have a shiver. The loiver is the one that a favor was done for here. He's the one that got a loan, and let him have the obligation of watching the shiver.